beyond the dark. The Good Doctor. There was a chemical burn in her throat first, then light, white, flattening her vision into ceiling panels, one flickering. The hum of electricity pressed tight against her skull. Something solid sat beneath her. A table? Cold, seeping up into her back. Leather bit into her wrists, 3 points each arm, skin bunching at the edges where the straps met bone. Her head wouldn't move. Metal coated her tongue, chemical, bitter, clinging to the roof of her mouth. Why? Her breathing felt wrong. Air dragged through her nose, not enough, each breath stopping short like her lungs had shrunk. She tried to move. Nothing happened. Her arms didn't respond. Her legs didn't respond. Even her fingers. Nothing. Panic fractured her thoughts into sharp, useless pieces. No. Where am I? Why am I here? Why can't I move? She tried to speak. Her mouth wouldn't open. Her tongue sat dead and thick against her teeth. Help. Someone help. Please, someone. Her vision collapsed to a gray tunnel. Blood hammered in her ears. Every part of her screamed to move and nothing answered. Footsteps approached. Rubber soles squeaking softly, unhurried. There was a sound underneath. A low hum, almost pleased. The sound stopped right beside her. A hand landed on her shoulder, followed by a calm voice. Emily. Her mind slowly fired. How does he know my name? She could see him now, leaning into view, smiling wide and easy. His eyes crinkled at the corners when he smiled, warm and reassuring. The kind of eyes that belong to someone who'd help you carry groceries to your car. Hair neat. He wore a white coat. Clean. Pressed. He tilted his head slightly, studying her, still smiling. You're waking up right on time, he said. I was hoping you wouldn't sleep through the whole thing. Her mind lurched. What? What whole thing? He reached out again, a gentle pat on her shoulder. I know. It's scary at first. But you're safe now, I promise. We're going to fix everything. Fix what? What needs fixing? I didn't... she thought to herself. He stepped closer. She could smell soap and something minty on his breath. We're just going to make things easier for you, Emily. Quieter. He made a small circling motion with his finger near his own temple. That constant pressure you've been carrying around? We're going to take care of that. Panic rushed to Emily's mind. I don't want it to be easier. I don't want to be quieter. I'm fine. I'm fine. He let out a small, innocent laugh and slapped his own leg, amused with himself. Make you right as rain. Her thoughts raced again. No, don't touch me. Please don't. He stayed close. Too close. Close enough that she could feel warmth from his body against her arm. The soap smell was stronger now. Clean. Simple. Something faintly powdery underneath. I could tell you were overwhelmed, he said, still smiling. Some people wear it loud. You do. Her panic rose inside. I wasn't. I was handling it. I was coping. Everybody gets stressed. That doesn't mean... He shifted his weight, resting one hand casually on the edge of the table near her hip. Not touching her. Just there. Present. You looked like you hadn't had a real moment to breathe in a long time. Like everything was piling up and nobody noticed. He glanced at her face, watching closely. The smile loosened. Not gone. Just thinning. I notice things. His voice changed. completely flat, empty. His eyes stopped crinkling, stopped doing anything at all. The warmth drained out of them, leaving something blank and measuring. His face settled into something neutral, expressionless, like whatever had been performing kindness had simply stopped. It's sort of my gift. Silence stretched between them. He didn't blink, didn't move, just watched her with that nothing face, that nothing voice. Then his hand moved to her cheek. Fingers spread slowly, palm pressing against her skin, thumb brushing just under her eye. The touch was gentle, lingering, too long. His hand slid down, tracing the line of her jaw, then lower, fingers grazing her neck, lingering at her pulse point before settling on her collarbone. His thumb moved there, small circles, slow. Emily's fear turned into mental paralysis.
Oh God, please no.
I'm going to help you let that go, he whispered, face inches from hers, breath warm against her cheek. Her mind screamed. Every muscle she couldn't move tried to recoil, tried to get away from the hand still resting on her collarbone, the warmth of his body leaning over her, the wrongness of his touch that felt too familiar, too practiced. Then his hand lifted. Gone. His face shifted back, the smile returning, warmth flooding into his eyes like a switch had flipped. Like nothing had happened at all. He stepped back. What was that? What was... She thought latex slid over skin. Slow. Deliberate. The sound was unmistakable. A soft stretch. Then... Snap! There we go, he said, cheer filling his voice again. Bright, easy. Always better with clean hands. Another glove, another careful pull. Snap! Emily's stomach twisted. Her thoughts raced, looking for an explanation that wasn't this one. Looking for a version where he stepped back, where someone came through the door, where this turned into something else. His hand brushed her forearm as he reached past her. Not accidental. Not lingering. Just enough to register. Easy, he murmured, like he felt the tension in her body even though she hadn't moved. You don't have to do anything. He laughed softly again, the same harmless sound as before. I'll take care of everything. He pulled a rolling stool closer and sat like this might take a while. Comfortable. Settled. He rested his hands on his knees and looked at her with something that almost read as pride. I'm just going to do a small procedure. Nothing dramatic. I've done it many, many times before. He smiled again, reassuring. And it's helped a lot of people. Tears tried to come. She felt the pressure behind her eyes, the tightness in her throat. But nothing happened. Even that didn't work. This isn't about taking anything from you, he continued. People always worry about that. They think they're going to lose themselves. He shook his head softly. You get to keep everything that matters. No, she thought to herself in defeat. You'll remember your whole life, every memory, every face, every little detail. Then what's the point? If I remember everything but can't feel it properly, what's left? What am I? The tears came then, slowly at first, sliding into her hair, down toward her ears. You'll still feel the world, he added. Touch, sound. Light. All of it. But I won't be me. I won't... Her throat tried to tighten, tried to make sound. Something thin and broken pushed its way out, barely audible, hardly even a whimper. Her mind pleaded,
"Please stop."
"But without all that extra weight," he said, nodding as if this was obvious. "No more getting angry for no reason. No more anxiety chewing at you. No more sinking into those dark holes you don't deserve." Another sound escaped, louder this time, wavering and weak. Tears blurred the ceiling until the light fractured into halos. "I've refined it," he said, a note of pride slipping in. "Over the years, made it gentler, cleaner, more precise." He leaned forward slightly. "It's my own personal method."
"He's going to do something to me. He's going to do something to my head."
The sound she made broke apart halfway through, turning into a shaking sob that never fully formed.
"Oh,"
he said immediately. His voice cracked, softened. When she managed to roll her eyes toward him, his face had changed. Eyes wet, bottom lip trembling slightly.
"Oh, sweetheart."
He stood and stepped in close again. One hand reached up behind her head, fingers spreading carefully through her hair. He cupped the base of her skull, firm but gentle, holding her still.
"I know," he murmured, voice thick. "I know you're scared."
His thumb pressed lightly at her temple again, grounding, intimate.
"I understand. I really do."
He leaned down and pressed a brief kiss to her forehead. Gentle. Tender.
"No. No. Get away."
"It's okay," he whispered. "You don't have to fight it." Emily's whole body would have shaken if it could. Tears poured freely now, her face hot and wet. Another broken sound clawed out of her throat, higher this time, desperate.
"Get away from me. Get away from me."
Emily's thoughts tried to force through her mouth without success. He straightened, wiping at his own eyes quickly, smile returning like sunlight breaking through clouds.
"I've got you," he said,
voice warm and soothing, the kind of voice you'd use with a frightened child. "You're doing great." The room filled with music, soft at first, almost lost under the hum of the lights. Piano, slow, gentle. Chopin's Nocturne in E-flat major. Each note falling like water into still water. "There we are," he said. "That should help." The notes settled into the space, steady and measured, like they were meant to slow breathing whether she wanted them to or not. "I always use this," he continued, returning to the tray. "It keeps things nice and even." Metal shifted as he picked something up. She could hear it now, close, intentional. "I'll just explain what's going to happen," he said. "It's very quick."
"No,"
Emily thought to herself, trying to project to her captor. "You might feel some pressure. That's normal." He paused. "And maybe a strange sensation. Hard to describe." "As far as I can tell," he said, "you don't actually feel pain." Then he laughed. A small, surprised laugh, like he was amused by the idea. "Funny, right?" He stepped in close. His hand settled on her forehead, firm now, positioning. Fingers spread through her hair, anchoring her head in place. "Just stay still for me, Emily," he said. "This part's important."
"I can't, please, I can't."
Something cold pressed at the corner of her eye. Not sharp, just there. Then, tink. Her body tried to jerk, failed. The signal went nowhere. Shh, he whispered, close to her ear now. Shh, it's okay. Pressure increased, deeper now, insistent. The pressure slid inward. Wrong. Inside. Emily's mouth flooded with the taste of copper. Thick, sharp, immediate. Coating her tongue as her vision shuddered and the ceiling tilted. She screamed, or tried to. The sound came out strangled, choked. Barely more than a wheeze forced through a throat that wouldn't work properly. I know, he murmured, voice breaking with emotion. You're doing so well. So brave. The piano kept playing, each gentle note falling through the room. Almost there, he breathed, tender and soft. Just a little more and then you'll be free. I promise. You'll be so peaceful. So quiet. His hand stroked her hair as he worked. No more pain, he whispered. No more fear. I'm giving you the most beautiful gift, Emily. Can you feel it? Can you feel yourself letting go? The pressure kept moving. Deeper. Wrong. That's it, he said, and she could hear him crying now, voice thick and wavering. That's it, sweetheart. Just let it all go. I've got you. The ceiling fractured into pieces. There, he whispered. There we go. Everything went soft. Chopin filled the spaces where thought used to be.
Her car was in the driveway. She was never home this early. The front door was unlocked. Why was the door unlocked?
Mom?
The house was too quiet. Not empty quiet. Wrong quiet. Like something was waiting. She moved through the hallway, past the photos on the wall, Mom's smile in every frame, bright and warm. She was sitting at the kitchen table. Mom's posture. Mom's stillness. The way she sat facing the wall like she'd been placed there and forgotten to move. Hands folded in front of her, back straight, shoes still on.
Mom?
She turned her head when her daughter spoke. The movement was wrong. Too smooth. Like someone operating a machine instead of a person deciding to look. Her face looked fine. Not hurt, not crying. Her eyes were open and clear. One of them was red along the white, like it had been rubbed too hard. There was a thin, dark line near the corner. A smile started, barely there. It didn't reach the rest of her face. She didn't answer. She just kept smiling. Thin, polite.
Mom,
her daughter said again, quieter, taking a step closer. She blinked. Once. Then again. Her mouth moved like she was about to say something. Nothing came out.
Are you sick?
She tilted her head, just a little, like she was listening. Her daughter moved closer. That red streak in her eye was worse up close. The red looked smeared, like something had slipped where it shouldn't have. When did that happen? Did she fall? Did someone? The girl questioned to herself.
Mom,
her daughter said, voice shaking now.
What happened?
No reaction to the question. She just kept watching, calm and still, like this was a normal afternoon. Her daughter reached out and touched her arm. She was warm. That made it worse.
Mom?
Her voice cracked.
Can you talk?
The silence stretched. Mom just kept staring, that thin smile frozen in place. And for one terrible moment, her daughter understood that whatever was sitting at the kitchen table wasn't her mother anymore. The body was there. The face was there. But Mom was gone. Her smile tightened. One of her eyes drifted slightly, rolling, then snapped back like it had been pulled into place. Her mouth started to open. A sick, gurgling sound ruptured out of her as the eye drifted again, her hand lifting off the table, reaching. She ran. Didn't stop to think. Just ran. Out of the kitchen, out of the house, onto the lawn in her socks, gasping, shaking, the sound of that ruined voice still in her ears. Behind her, through the open door, she could hear her mother's hand scraping against the table. Slow. Reaching for where she'd been standing, hands clutching at nothing.